Radio Gorgeous, where women do the talking.
Tear the heart right out of me. Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes mine of the day. Me and little J-O-B will be going away. I love you.
Hello, welcome to Radio Gorgeous. I'm here with the nutty Donna Freed. Okay, and I'm the ever so eccentric Josephine Pembroke. Now, we'll be talking about eccentrics in a minute, but gorgeous gossip this week. Do you know any divorcees?
I do.
Well, what we're talking about is when you're a divorcee, how does your life change socially? And you can the pecking order of friends, dinner parties, smug marrieds, how does it fit in? So we're chatting to some people about divorce, and that's going to be the gorgeous gossip. But who is Author of the Week, Donna, dearest nutcase?
Author of the Week is Anne Seba on Laura Ashley.
So who's the eccentric one in that duo?
I would think Laura Ashley.
So what I found out about Anne Seba's biography is that she wrote was that she was a very difficult woman to know, Laura Ashley. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you'd go and interview her, she would hide kind of behind the curtain slightly.
Behind the Laura Ashley curtain.
Exactly. The company was called Laura Ashley, and I think she was quite uncomfortable with that because really it was a partnership with her husband, Bernard. He was the businessman and she was the creative talent. And as you find of a lot of creative people, she just really didn't like the limelight. She wanted to make quilts. And she couldn't find these gorgeous little designs of little flowers anywhere. There was no fabric of little flowers. And think about how beautiful that is now and how much we enjoy little. Yeah. So she bought a printing press and she'd never done it before. And it wasn't printing print, it was printing fabric. And they had this kind of flat in Newbury Street in Victoria. Got Bernard to kind of set them up. And then she did these little designs and they started doing fabric.
Yeah.
They saw the film Roman Holiday. With, what's the actress in that?
Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn. And she's wearing a little scarf around her neck. And this was in the late 50s. And everybody wanted one of these scarves. So they started making these little scarves. And that's really how they took off.
Wow.
Because of the film Roman Holiday. Wow. And because of her love of little prints.
Yeah. Her eccentric little love of little prints.
Yeah, yeah. But sadly, Anne never met her.
Yeah.
Because she had died. She died at her daughter's cottage in her beloved Wales, where she was born. Mm-hmm. It was an accident. She went to the loo in the night, and probably because she didn't know the cottage, it was a rented cottage, she turned right or left the wrong way and fell down the stairs.
Well, can I make an obnoxious assumption?
Yeah.
It's bad. Well, she was probably wearing one of those big old flowy nightgowns and stumbled, you know?
It is the problem. I do pick up my...
Yes. When you're walking inside of it and then...
When I'm wearing my crinoline, I hold it up.
It was a tragic accident. And here I am making a joke about it. But
anyway, but it has been on radios before and it got so many hits that we are launching it again this week. Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah. What does the name velvet eccentric bring up to you? What does that sound like?
Well, as you just said, eccentric about yourself.
Velvet.
And eccentric. You're wearing a riding jacket with some velvet patches on your elbows. So you, darling, you.
Well, actually, they're an Oxfordshire company and they're two women and they are decorators.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, they are Hannah and Rachel. And they came up to London to talk to us. And I said to them, what's your favourite shop in the whole world? And they said, well, we love Abigail Ahern, which is this interior designer. She's a cult interior designer, very edgy, very cool. And she's in Islington. So we contacted them and they said, you can come to her studio. So we went
Wonderful.
All the way to Hackney and we went to her studio, which is her home.
Mm.
It was like being, she does rock stars. It was like being with a rock star.
She had the nose round.
Oh, we really did.
It was poked through her drawers.
We did. And more. I used her loo. I stroked her dog. Got very friendly. But that's a great interview. And they did it themselves. And they are going to be our new interiors women. They're going to do pieces for us.
Oh,
and they
wonderful.
Are really naughty and wicked. So you'll enjoy that. Now, let's go on to divorced people. women particularly. Do you have friends of women that are divorced?
Yes, men and women. And we seem to get all the good people in the divorce. We always get the good people in the divorce. You know
that how sounds some horrible.
People, no, well, but you know how some people, I don't know, there's one person in particular that I'm thinking of. He was with a woman, he was friends with my husband in college, or university here. And we're still friends with the woman that he left, and he left her. We're friends with her. He left her for another woman who he married, and divorced her. Yeah. And we're friends with her, and nobody speaks to him anymore.
I love it. So you've collected two really nice friends.
We get all the nice people.
Yeah, through his podcast. We find that we really get on with divorced women as a couple because we like people who are a bit more out there and a mm-hmm. bit more like trying to enjoy their life. A bit more fun.
Yeah.
But it has backfired for me because I did have a friend who, I must say, my husband did say out of all the women, he did fancy her, actually.
Oh.
And I was fine with that because she was my friend. I'd call her and she'd come round. And then he got her number and he started making arrangements with her. And the jealousy came.
Mm.
And I just had to stop being friends with them because I just... When, you know, it's okay if I'm in control of it, but when he's starting to say, oh, and you know he fancies her, I think you've got to be slightly wary. What do you think?
I probably would have felt uncomfortable with that.
But are we awful smug marrieds? Are we?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not. I'm definitely not. I'm always looking over my shoulder. I'm not very good at kind of like, I forget I'm in a couple sort of, you know. I forget the word we.
I forget the word we, but that's, I mean, I think, well, you know, that has nothing to do with being married.
But so we talked to a couple of people today about being a divorcee. And first of all, we've got Caroline from Ripon near Harrogate on the line now. Caroline,
hello.
The first thing I want to ask you is when you got divorced, did people take sides at all?
Yes.
And what was that like?
It was okay because they were all on my side.
Great. So you didn't lose anyone you didn't mind losing.
No, not at all.
Fantastic. Now, do friends, because you are an attractive divorcee, we've seen the photographs, we haven't met you, but we've seen you, you're absolutely gorgeous. Do friends treat you the same now that you are a divorced woman, or are you seen sort of slightly as a kind of black widow?
Good friends treat me completely normally, but new friends don't invite you anywhere. They're a bit wary.
Right, right. And what about the school gate?
The school gate, I don't exist.
Oh, really?
Well, I've got more makeup on than most of the school mothers, which frightens them for a start.
Yes. What else is frightening about you?
My height.
Okay.
So you're tall, thin, attractive, and dressed like an actual person out in the world. As opposed to in your sweats because you're going to the gym after drop-off. Yeah, I wouldn't like you either. You're showing everybody up, aren't you?
I don't go to the gym. No, I don't go to the gym.
You don't go to the gym, but you do work, don't you? So you do. Yeah. You definitely go there in your work clothes.
Yes.
Now, what about, you know, a lot of your friends are married. Do you kind of still like them, or do you secretly think of it back in mind, oh, bloody smug marrieds, you know, do they get on your nerves?
No, they don't. My nerves at all. I love the fact that people have done so well.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. You weren't meant to give that answer. Now, there's definitely dinner party circuit. Are you still on the dinner party circuit
Absolutely
now?
Absolutely not. You don't get invited anywhere, just in case you might steal a husband.
Oh, no. Yep. Really? So what do you have to do? Do you have, like, gay friends now? Are you know...
No, but is it... Don't go to dinner parties.
No,
not really. They feel, you know, it's not old friends, but new friends definitely feel threatened. They think you want their husband, but you don't want them gift wrapped.
No. So just tell me. So how do you socialise then as a divorced woman? What places can you go?
I go anywhere I'm invited.
Right.
That's one of my things.
Yeah.
So I've got to get out there.
I see.
So I go anywhere I'm invited to, and not much excitement around the Ripon area, as you can imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I will go out and just, you know, behave like a 25-year-old, generally.
Oh, really? So you go a bit wild when you go out,
do
you?
I go nightclubbing. I'm even on, you know, get text messages from the local nightclub inviting me to bring guests. I mean,
God, your social life's really getting it's got a lot better then. Well, the strange thing is you're out after 11, which a lot of us can't relate to.
I'm out all hours.
Gosh, so do you get drunk more, do you think, now that you're single again?
Yeah, but I only go out sort of once a week or so, so...
So when you go out, you go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
And then what about friends? I did say gay friends. I mean, do you feel like you're slightly like you're in a kind of different scene now?
Yes, definitely.
What, the kind of single scene then? Is there such thing?
Yeah, there isn't much of a single scene up here.
Yeah, so where do you go? Where is a single scene?
Well, any big city.
Yeah,
a single scene.
So do you go to...
Everybody's on their own in a big city, you know?
Yeah, so do you go to Leeds, London?
Yeah, I go to Leeds now and again. I go to Manchester now and again.
Yeah, yeah.
I have even been known to go to Newcastle.
Out of desperation, or...
We travel, us northerners.
Exactly. And then what about being a lone parent? How difficult's that?
Hard, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite intense, but I'm very lucky, because she's a very good girl. A bit intense, you know, a bit lonely at times.
Yeah. So is loneliness one of the problems, then, would you say?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, only for sex, really.
Well, but is it hard being, you know, sort of both parents?
Pardon?
Is it hard being both parents, both mother and father, yeah, on a daily basis?
Her dad is active.
In what way?
Life. My transgender child.
But
so there are some problems.
Yeah, there are some problems. Yeah, completely normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what advice, I mean, because this is especially for people that have just become divorced, they're frightened, they don't know, you know, which way to turn. What would be your advice to them?
Go out and get lucky.
Okay. So go for it then. But don't go for married people,
you know,
obviously. Don't go for married men.
You're very sad.
But you've never been for a married man, have you?
No.
No.
Not that you know of.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on Radio Gorge today. Donna, do you have any questions?
But yeah, I mean, so it sounds to me like you know, you have to parent for both, you party for both, you know, you do everything for both. I mean, what do you do instead of just going out? I mean, but how do you, other than that, on a more regular basis, how do you find time for yourself that's not public time?
I don't really.
Yeah.
I don't really.
Yeah.
But like, you forget about yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when your child's young or your children are young. I think it's very hard.
You know, it's about them.
Yeah. And you're working full-time, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love, which otherwise you'd go mad, I think.
So you'd advise working if you divorce.
Definitely.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your advice, Caroline.
Thank you, girls.
Just don't come near my husband, okay?
Yeah, or mine. You sound too gorgeous for words. Thank you so much.
Lots of love to you, girls.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Radio Gorgeous supports women. Women support Radio Gorgeous. So today we're looking at divorce and we're saying, what's the upside and what's the downside? We've got Lucy from Bath. Hello, Lucy. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi there. Hello. So,
how long were you married?
Pretty much 20 years.
20 years. Okay. So how long ago did you get divorced?
3 years. Split up 6 years ago and divorced 3 years ago.
So what would you say your social status is? Is it the same, you know, being a divorcee as being married? Tell us the differences.
I think there is a difference. I think people are slightly, I think English people, possibly more than others, are slightly wary of you as a divorced sort of woman. I do find enormously that I have women invite me around for women's evenings, far less. It was much more of a couple's kind of existence before.
Yeah, like, are you in the dinner party scene still?
Well, not quite. Not exactly the same way, no.
No. So you have been, so do you feel hurt by that, or are you okay?
No, I don't feel hurt by it. It's kind of it's a segue. It's not hurtful. It's something that you kind of notice.
So what do you do now for a night out? You know, what would you do? You do the women's evenings.
Definitely bring up the girlfriends.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, you did that anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it was much more of a couple things. And, you know, then you always get called up for that kind of last minute, oh, we need a girl.
Yes, yes. Now, do you have to meet a frightful man?
Well, occasionally, actually, but not really very much at all. No, on the whole, it's no. I don't have people who kind of are pairing me up like that.
Okay, have people tried to yet?
Yes, and not very successfully.
It's a trouble. It's awful because you know I know kind of people that are single, and I think they would be so perfect together. You know, you get them together, and there's no chemistry at all. You know.
But I do think that the chemistry of the dining table is a bit false anyway.
Oh.
You really, you kind of want to meet someone where there aren't so many people. There isn't such a kind of spotlight.
Yes.
It depends on the dinner party.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But, you don't want it to be too contrived. But anyway, that's kind of another thing.
Tell us about being divorced. Tell us... do your friends still include you with everything? Do they still kind of confide in you? Have any things different happened with girlfriends?
Yes, I find that quite often people confide more in me actually now. I think people will, because you're on your own and you don't have a man around, they will quite often confide things about their husbands.
Yes, yes.
That drive them wild.
What with madness? Madness.
Annoyance.
Yeah, annoyance. Yeah.
Not in the bedroom so much.
Exactly.
But
so they can let off steam with you and tell them. Yeah.
And yeah. Want to kind of say things that they couldn't say in front of their husbands. I find I have much more of that kind of thing.
That's really nice. So you're actually having more intense relationships with women. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do any women, because you've got children at school, do women ever look at you like, ooh, the divorcee, and do you ever get that kind of vibe?
Very slightly. I think people, also sometimes are a little bit envious, because you find that when people are not getting on, then they sort of look at you and think, oh, gosh, you don't have to sort of, cook the supper or... put up with the socks or whatever it is that is sort of annoying them or sharing the decisions. I think being able to make decisions on your own, that's something that people sometimes kind of envy you.
Now, is that quite stressful, having to make decisions on your own, or is it okay?
I think usually it's much easier.
Really?
Oh, yes. The only decision I had that was really difficult was choosing a school for my kids to go to, and I found that really difficult. I would have loved to have had someone to just, bandy that decision around with, who was going to go the course of the decision.
Yes.
When you have these kind of decisions with people, but that's the only difficult decision so far.
And are you friends of your ex? Do you get on with him?
Yes.
Oh, that's so nice. That's very nice for the children to see that you can talk to each other and be friendly. So did he not have any decision with the school then?
Well, he was quite, he lived abroad and he's, he was quite good. He kind of said, you're on the spot. Why don't you do that?
Oh, right. So that's probably one of the reasons why you divorced him. Wasn't terribly supportive then when you needed him.
I don't know. I think those decisions for a long time, they became kind of battlegrounds. So I think it was probably, where the issue at stake became clouded by who was going to win the argument. So I think actually it was quite good in a way that he, anyway, that he let me take that decision. However, that is one where it would actually have been handy to have had a bit of help.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what about the dating scene? Have you had any boyfriends or lovers since you split up?
A couple.
And has it been different from, I mean, it was 20, just think it was 25 or 30 years ago, but you haven't, you know, you have with the same man. I mean, you know, what's it like taking your clothes off? What's it like discovering love and sex again?
Well, wonderful.
What about taking your clothes off for the first time?
Yes.
Well, just yes.
No, the first time, actually, that was a very brief thing.
What, it was a quickie? Or
kind of a great icebreaker, and that's kind of all it was. And that was, you know, just incredible and just extraordinary to do that after all those years.
And it must have, did the same feelings come back, sort of, you know?
Well, yes, but more mature, you know.
Yeah.
You're not the same
yeah.
person. You're not the, I mean, I think I was 20 or 21 when I met my husband.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm a totally different creature.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now,
tell us about the dating scene in the Bath area. Anything happening?
I have found that particularly quiet, I must say. And people always sort of say, oh, why don't you go on the internet? Which just seems so extremely, you know, unappealing.
But 50% now of people, that's how they find their partners. It's
yeah.
really not a taboo anymore. I mean, I think personally I would go down the kind of Sunday Times or The Guardian. I would do it, you know, because it's, how else do you meet these people? I mean, how, you know, your circle's just not big enough, you know, to find, you know, because so many people are in partnerships or there's lots of duds out there. So you've got to put your net very wide. Come on, Lucy, I think you should try and take the plunge.
Yes, but why, you know, goodness me, it takes the stars out of romance, doesn't it?
Well, it'd still be quite exciting, you know, it's still, I mean, because you're both, you know, you're both doing it, you know, I mean, it might take romance away, but I think it's very practical, and maybe we've got to the age where we are being practical about these things.
But I don't think love is practical.
Oh, it's probably why you went out with a poet, I heard.
Exactly, yes, but, yeah, it doesn't seem romantic to search the internet.
You
advertise yourself on the internet.
Yeah, well, I had a friend who put good in bed in one of her lines on the internet, and she had over 80 inquiries. And she wrote a book about it, actually, which is quite a good idea. But she said she met them very, you know, in pubs and things, and it was all very brief. It's like, you can even say, you know, you don't even have to have a drink. You can say, sorry, you know, you can make up, sorry, I've got to go. But what about speed dating? I've always loved the idea of that.
I think speed dating sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to go about it.
Okay, well, I think that's going to be one of the next things we're going to do. Radio Gorgeous is going to set you up some sort of dating thing. Would you be up for it?
Yes, because that's fun.
Okay.
Calling the internet and you know, looking as if you are so, not looking as if you're desperate, but putting yourself in the position where you say, my life isn't really fulfilled unless I go out and find a partner, which it's sort of, it's not.
No, so tell us.
But speed dating sounds fun. It sounds like a great night, and, you know, if something came out of it, great. But if not, it just sounds like something fun on its own.
Okay, so tell us about, because one of the things is, what's the upside of being divorced and what's the downside? Tell us two things before you go.
Right. Okay. So, I'll do downside first.
Yes.
Downside, I can only think of one, actually, but that black tie event, suddenly, it's the one thing that I don't enjoy. Putting on your glad rags and your baubles on your own is just not the same as someone next door to you putting on a dinner jacket.
Yeah, and you're like on a lovely thick carpet and mirror, and you're putting your earrings on and your feet.
That.
Yeah,
it's a special night, and it's also a ritual that you've done many times, and you can't take away if you've done that for 30 or 40 years. I mean, I don't know if that happens that much anymore, but you know,
yes,
that is something very special. And I going to Smart Do's, that getting dressed up for the night, that is the only thing that I miss.
It's not bad, considering there could be a massive list.
Yeah, no, it's only one, actually.
Okay, and tell us
the one that I'm conscious of.
Yeah, tell us the upsides. Or upsides.
Upsides.
Might be more than one. Number one is you can make decisions.
Yeah, make decisions is great.
Mm.
You are your own woman.
Wow.
And you were from, not quite when you were born, perhaps, but whenever, you know, you were, and then you become half of a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, you've done that. Now it's back to being me again.
Yeah.
And it's very, it's like a sort of rawer state of living. You're not, there's no cocoon around you.
Yes. It's, so you might feel more, you might feel more alive.
Very much so. And I've really enjoyed that the whole way.
Yeah. Fantastic. So lovely to speak to you. And thank you so much for coming on Radio Gorgeous.
Oh,
Lucy from Bath.
Thanks, Josephine.
So if you like this, come to info@radiogorgeous.com and you can sign up to Gorgeous Mail, which will come into your inbox only once a week. And it's written by Nutty Donna here. It's a cult read. I mean, we get so many hits on Twitter. Honestly, people read it all around the world and they love it and they sign up because of it. And if you don't like anything we say, contact us again on info@radiogorgeous.com. But we want your views. Are you a divorced person? Are you socially acceptable? Has it changed your life? Call us, contact us, you know how. Thank you so much for listening to Radio Gorgeous. Radio Gorgeous production, Radio Gorgeous 2014. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I wish that we could.